Who here was here for the men's rally yesterday? Any of you guys? Campbell? It was amazing, was it not? Mr. Ryman? That first song that Jen sang was Marvelous Light, and I believe that was written by Charlie Hall, who was here last night leading us in worship, and it rocked our socks off. It was, if that can happen, but I think it did last night. It was really cool. We had a good time. After the rain left, that is. Okay, guys, we're going to kind of be bouncing around a little bit in 1 Samuel. If you want, you can turn with me to chapter 14. And you might be able to keep up with me. We'll be kind of hit and miss all over the place. Who here was with us on Wednesday night? Anybody here on Wednesday night? A couple of you guys? Okay, this kind of is like going to bounce off of what we did on Wednesday night. So I want to kind of run back through a little bit about what we talked about on Wednesday night. As some of you guys know, the theme was Red Bull Christianity. And you guys might be like, well, what do you... Whoa, that girl has had way too much Red Bull. Wow. I don't even know what she said. See, that's what happens when you drink Red Bull. You don't want to do that, all right? You sound like a weirdo. I'm just kidding. Anyways, guys, Red Bull Christianity. What I was talking about was that many times we experience the same effects in our Christian lives as what we do when we drink a lot of energy drinks or caffeine or coffee. For me, it would be coffee. I drink way too much coffee, and I kind of shared about my addiction on Wednesday. I won't go through that painful time again about my coffee problems. But what I was talking about is, you know when you're kind of feeling down and you just need something to get you back up? You just need something to energize you. And so what we do is we drink a Red Bull or we drink a coffee or a Monster or a Rockstar or something like that to get us going. But what happens? We get all jazzed up and all psyched, but then we kind of go in this downward spiral and we fail and we just crash. And then to get back up, we have to do it again to get another Red Bull or another cup of coffee or something. And I was kind of relating that to our Christian lives. When we kind of have the idea that when we're kind of down and out or struggling or just like, man, I'm not really doing too hot as a Christian right now, as a Velocity student, I'm just kind of slacking. So what do I need to do? Well, first off, this bad boy, at least 5 chapters a day. At least. And then I'll be on my way there. And then when it comes to praying, I mean, we're talking like 4 in the morning, right? On our knees, spending a couple hours getting right before God. And then that's not quite enough. I mean, not only do we go to Wednesday night service, we go to Saturday night service. You know, and we think that all of these things combined will get us back up to where we're supposed to be. But see, the problem with that is we're focused on the outward instead of focused on the inward. See, all these things look pretty on the outside, but God wants to change us inside because the effects will be the same as the Red Bull or the cup of coffee. It works for a time and it gets you strengthened for a time, but then you will fail again. That's why, what does it say in Zechariah 4:6? Who can quote it for me? Anybody? It says, not by might or by power, but he says, by my spirit, says the Lord. He says, it's not going to be by your strength, Courtney, or by your strength, Velocity, but it's going to be by my strength working in you and through you that will enable you to live this Christian life. And we talked about how God says, I'm going to give you a new heart. He's going to totally rip out this heart that he says it's a heart of stone. It's dead. It's not alive. It's nothing. He says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, one that beats, one that's breathing, one that can actually have life, an eternal life. And that's what he says about us. And I want to share really quick about we talked about our hearts. And I talked about a kid by the name of Jermichael last Wednesday. And I talked about Jermichael and the fact that I was saying that he had a heart disease. He had a heart problem. And I got some updated news about Jermichael, actually. He came to the skate park a couple days ago. And we were talking about how he went to the hospital because he had fluid around his lungs. not as lung, his heart, sorry. And what was happening was his immune system was attacking his organs. That's not a good thing because your immune system is there to fight off disease. And the immune system was thinking that his body was one big disease and it was attacking it, causing his heart to have water around it, which would bring serious problems, even potentially death. He said if the doctor said if he wouldn't have been to the hospital when he did, he would have just fallen over and died. Well, I talked about how the possibility of him having a disease called lupus. Well, and I talked and I said a little bit about that, what it is. It's an autoimmune disease. What happens is it's when you're, like I said, your immune system attacks your body and it attacks all your vital organs and it causes you not to even to operate really. And they don't know the intensity of it for him, but it can be fatal. And, you know, we talked about that if the doctors were just to kind of slap him some morphine or to give him some painkillers, like he might feel better or they made the water kind of go away for a time, but the issue is still there. It doesn't take care of it. And that's why we're talking about we need a heart change. We need to be different from the inside out. And see, guys, God wants to do the same thing with us in our Christian walks. And also, as we relate this whole idea of God saying, it's not by your might, guys. It's not by your strength, but it's by my spirit. And we're going to talk about how that even works tonight when it comes to relationships. Would it be fair to say that in our relationships on a daily or a weekly basis that they tend to go up here, then they go way down here, and they go way up there, and go way down here. Have you guys ever experienced that? Some of you guys, who here has a relationship to where it's always just smooth? No bumps, nothing up, nothing down, but it's just right there. Danae? Danae. That's good. Good deal. But most of us, I mean, and I'm probably even Danae would probably say that sometimes she has some rocky relationships where there's like something thrown in there and it just is like something's going wrong. We're having a hard time. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how in our relationships, is it possible that God would want to do something in our hearts where we could say, you know what? I've been trying to do these relationships, whether it's my friend, my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, but I tend to be, you know, really up and down with them. One day I love them, one day I hate them, one day I'm just bouncing off the walls, and the next day I'm a, you know, manic depressant, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just all over the place. But when we look at Jesus and we hear what he says about him being our strength, not only is it in our Christian life, but it's very specifically involved in our relationships. Because I think that's the majority of what we do. Would you agree? Majority of our lives are spent with relationships. I mean, today, what did we do when we came here? We talked to people. I mean, we conversed with people. We beat up people, you know? We jump on people. And we're building these relationships, some for good and some for bad. But for the most part, good, I think. Do you see that even coming to Velocity or going to school? We work on relationships with our teachers. We go home tonight, we work on our relationships with our parents. Are we going to be punks and be like, our parents would be like, what'd you guys do? Nothing. You did nothing in Velocity? You know, we got to work on these relationships. We got to communicate. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Now, one reason why I think we struggle so much on relationships is because many times we have bad examples. I was reading some statistics about relationships, and specifically those involving our parents and those involving us. And I think sometimes we have a skewed idea of what a healthy relationship looks like. You know why? Because it says that half of this group here potentially has experienced divorce in their family. Half of you guys possibly have been through a divorce family. What does that show you? I've been through a divorce family. My wife has been through a divorce family. I know a couple leaders who have been through divorce families. And when you experience divorce, you don't experience this. Your relationships aren't like this. Because one second, you see your mom and your dad fighting. One weekend with your dad, next weekend with your mom. Your mom's this way, your dad's that way, and you don't ever know what to do. Your mom says you can do this, your dad says you can do this, and you're just kind of at a loss and you're frustrated and you're irritated. But that's our example many times, many of us. It says half of American children will witness the breakup of their parents. And it says over a million children, among the millions of children who have seen their parents divorce, one out of every 10 will also have lived through three or more parental marriages and splitting up. So not only will some of you guys experience a single divorce, but one out of every 10 of you will experience multiple separations, multiple inconsistencies, multiple relationships that aren't consistent but are up and down. And I'm not saying this is an excuse, but by our example, many times we ourselves relate to people the same way because we've experienced inconsistency. We've experienced heartache. We've experienced the whole feeling of being unloved or feeling that we're unloved. We've experienced these things in relationships, and we've experienced the fighting and the bickering that goes in between families over divorce. And many times when we relate to people, do you think that that ever comes out? Is it possible that then we could then relate to people that way also? Now, I was looking at how this could actually affect us as children. Because believe it or not, I'm a child. I have a mom and a dad, you know, just like you guys. I'm a little bit older, but I still am a child in that respect. And it says that we as children will experience different things by the relationships that we're affected by. It says people that experience divorce and things like that will go through more emotional and psychological problems, meaning that you struggle with relationships or you struggle with different feelings or emotions and stuff like that, which I would say probably most of us do. But it says it's a little bit more intense for those that have experienced division in a family. Even when it talks about grades, it says you're going to experience harder times with school. That may not be for all you guys, but it says that these things even affect very practically who you are and your makeup and what you do. And it goes on to some more statistics about those things. But I just want to show you how our relationships that we're involved in right now tend to be fairly inconsistent. And I want to encourage us, myself included, I want to encourage us to step away from that and to be different. To not look to our peers, to not look even to our examples anywhere else, but I want us to focus in on God and look at God's example. And to know, if you guys please pay attention for me, to know that God is consistent in our lives. When God said he was going to come back, did he come back? Yes, he came back. When God said that he would be raised from the dead, was he raised from the dead? Yes. When God came back 50 days later and the Holy Spirit came and the disciples were there watching Jesus go up to heaven and he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Did it happen? It did. God was faithful. When Jesus says he's going to come back someday and take his church, his people with him, is he going to do it? Well, so far he's been faithful. Can we trust him to be faithful now? And so, guys, I want us to look at Jesus and him being that representation of what a relationship should be like, because so far, God has been completely faithful in my life. And he wants to do the same for you. And when we start looking to these things, looking to God, looking to Jesus, as our examples in relationships, we will find that we won't be on this up and down pattern, but then we will be on a smoother path. Starting in 1 Samuel, well, before we go there, actually, I came across two words, one being the word static and one being the word dynamic. Now, we've heard of the word static and dynamic before, but I never really looked at the definitions of these words. And the word static is not kind of like what we hear on a radio, you know, that has something to do with it, but it's something that is lacking in movement or action or change. it's lacking in these things in a way that necessarily isn't desirable or good. For example, my computer. I think I may have the worst computer on campus here. There's quite a few computers, and I think even my cousin Peter could testify I had the worst computer possibly in the whole world. What happens is I'll open up a Word document, and at the same time, I'll open up my iTunes, and my computer shuts down. It can't handle it. Completely shuts down. It can't move forward. It can't handle it. It can't handle all the information. It's just static. It doesn't know what to do. It freaks out and stops. Static. It's not a good thing. But there's another word that's kind of like the opposite of static, and that's dynamic. It's a constant change or an activity. It's a progress. It's a moving forward. It's not something that stops, but it's something that continues to move forward. When my computer, if it was good, when I would put up iTunes or my Word document and have the internet open and all these things, it would continue to move forward, but it stops. So do we have static relationships, ones that don't move, ones that are standing still, or ones that are dynamic, ones that actually see change and they move forward with it and they make things happen? Dynamic can be a term in physics, simply something that produces motion. And in our relationships, guys, we have to be moving forward. If we're settling for what we have right now in your friendships, in your relationships with your families, if you stop here and not move forward, all you're going to experience is static. You're going to be confused. And they're not going to go anywhere. But I want to encourage you in having a dynamic relationships. Relationships that see change and they move with change and they move forward and they work through it. In the Bible, there's three characters that I want to talk to you about. One being a guy by the name of Jonathan, another being Saul, and another David. You see, Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And as we know, David came in the picture a little bit later. I'm talking about the David that defeated Goliath. You guys know the stories I'm talking about here? You guys know about King Saul? You guys know about King David? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Saul really quick. And we're going to just go through this pretty quickly. It says in 1 Samuel 8 that the people rejected God. And they said, God, I don't want you to govern over us anymore, but I want a man to govern over us. They said, God, I don't want to do things your way anymore. I want to do things our way. Kind of like, I want to do things in my strength, in my power, in my abilities, and not trusting God. The Israelites said, I want to do things my way. And you know what? I see this man, Saul, and God says, I've chosen this man because he is what you want. You want someone that looks pretty. You want someone that stands head and shoulders above everybody else and will look good on the outside. But we find out that Saul, you know what? Inwardly, he had problems. Inwardly, when it came to his relationships, he had problems. In 1 Samuel 13, it says that Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept commandments of the Lord our God. And God says, I'm going to seek for a man that seeks after my heart, implying that, you know what Paul did? He sought after his own desires. And when it was concerning relationships, he sought after his own desires. Have you guys ever had a friend to where they sought after themselves before they would ever think of you? That in a relationship, it was all about them. And when it worked out, they might be there for you. Have you guys ever experienced that? Just bad friends, I guess? Or friends that were really wishy-washy and you didn't really know if they're really, are they really my friends? Well, you see, Saul was that man. Because we see a couple different situations. One being David. He had a relationship that when he experienced change in it, instead of moving forward and working with it, he stopped. And we see in Saul's life, he became jealous. And it says that Saul, at different times, reacted in some really quite crazy ways. See, when Saul had the kingdom pulled away from him, and it says that God anointed David to be the king, it says that there was this evil spirit that came on Saul, and he was all just, he would always get in these bad, cranky moods. And he just, he didn't like life. And so, at one point in time, these men say, hey, I know of a guy that plays a harp really nice. He's a godly man, he's a man of valor, and he can play the harp for you, and he can soothe you. Well, David comes up, and he does this, and he serves the king. He serves the king. Later on, David becomes this mighty man of God and a mighty warrior in Saul's army. And he defeats all these men. He defeats the Goliath. He defeats the Philistines. And he protects Saul's kingdom. But you know what David gets in return from Saul? Saul was there to comfort him. Saul put his life on the line for David put his life on the line for Saul. And it says another time when this evil spirit tormented him, that they called up David again. And you know what Saul did? He got all frustrated and was ticked off at David because David, it was said, killed his 10,000s, but Saul only his 1,000s. And he got jealous. In this relationship, he got jealous. And he took a javelin and he tried to pin David against the wall. Have you guys ever experienced where you have two friends? Well, you're a friend and then you have your, you know, two of you, both friends in this relationship. And one person, it seems like, man, they're getting great grades. Their family life is just rocking and everything's going great. In the process, your parents have gotten divorced. Your grades are really struggling. And you're just getting bitter at that person because everything's going great for them. But your life is just getting ripped apart. And do we ever get jealous? And do we start treating relationships in a way to where it's like, well, I'm not going to really be there for them as a friend in these relationships because I'm jealous and I want what they have. Well, David, it's said that he stayed faithful to Saul all the way through. Even when Saul was chasing David through the forest, David had multiple opportunities to kill Saul. And you know what he said? I will not touch the man who God has set on this throne of Israel. I will not. And so often, guys, we're so quick to turn our backs on each other. I'm at the skate park quite a bit of my time. And I see kids in their natural state. It's like seeing you guys at school in the cafeteria. Not having to put on your Christian, you know, words and Christian appearance, but who you really are out there in the world. And I see that. And I see them how they, that one second they're best friends with each other. Next second someone's making fun of another person and then they're fighting. And before you know it, everybody hates each other. We're so quick to turn our back on one another. But David was faithful. I want to talk about another guy by the name of Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son. And as you know, if Saul was the king, Jonathan would be the next king, right? That's how that works. Your oldest son would then be raised up to be the king. And for whatever reason, we hear in these stories, and we don't have time to really go through them in a real in-depth way, but we hear in these stories that Jonathan saw something in David. And at one point in time, it says that Jonathan gave David, this is the prince. He gave some shepherd boy. This guy smelled like sheep when he first met him. I mean, he smelled like just animals, and he was a nobody. And Jonathan saw something great in him. And he gave him his sword, he gave him his shield, he gave him clothes to wear. And he honored him, and he followed him, And he saw that God was using him. He saw that God was blessing his life. And he was there to encourage him and to protect him, even at the cost of his crown. Because he knew that God had anointed David to be king. And Saul, he took away his spirit from him and said, you will not be king because you did not follow my commandments. And I want a man that will seek my heart. And Jonathan saw that. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry, but he accepted it and he followed him and he protected him. Even when Saul would try to manipulate Jonathan and other people to kill David, Jonathan protected him. Jonathan warned him when it didn't really serve his best interest. Do you guys serve your friends? Do you guys deal with your relationships when it doesn't involve your best interests? Do you ever live in such a way to where maybe what you're going to do is going to affect another person in a way that it's more of a blessing than it'll affect you? You're there to care for someone's needs above your own? That's what friendships are. That's what relationships should be like. There's one part where Saul was going to give David one of his daughters. And to see David's heart with a man who's tried to kill him several times, he said, who am I? Who am I to deserve King Saul's daughter as my wife? Who am I to deserve this? I'm the lowliest of my people and my family, and yet you would bestow this honor upon me? In the same way, guys, do you have that brokenness in your life that it's an honor to be friends with one another and that you would protect that relationship? You would protect what God has given you above all else. Not by might nor by power, says the Lord, but by my spirit. In relationships, would it be fair to say that living this way and living as a Christian, a godly Christian in our relationships takes more than what we can do? That it would take God's strength in us to work through us? It says in Matthew, I think maybe 19, it says, what's impossible with man is possible with God. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And God is saying right now to you guys that what would seem impossible in the relationships that you're going through is possible with God. When you have those friends, when you have those people, when you have those parents, that it would seem impossible to love and to honor and to obey, it's possible with Jesus in your life. Because it said it's not by your strength, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. You guys, I want to end right there. And I wanted to pray before we ended, but I'm just going to pray up here with you guys. I want you guys to think about this. When it comes to relationships and when it comes to God's strength versus your strength, I want you guys to be aware that we fail on a daily basis. And that we look at these guys like Jonathan and David and Saul. Do our relationships involve static, confusion, miscommunication? Can we trust each other? Do we hold up one another? Do we build up each other or do we tear down each other? And Jonathan, he came alongside David and protected him and gave his life, his being a prince, being a king, for David. David was so broken and humbled by this that he served even the man that would kill him. Would we serve those that would speak badly against us? Would we love those that would seem to hate us? I want to close with this, because I think so many times our relationships involve a single word or a single a sentence that we might say. And I want you guys, in everything you do, I want you to do this. He says, Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. How do you react to one another? Be gracious with each other because God has been so gracious. So often we're so unfaithful to God. We're so disgusting and nasty. And like we said on Wednesday, we try to cover up all of our sin and all of our stuff with, you know, cheap cologne. But let's offer the same forgiveness that was given to us, the same love, the same grace that was given to us. Let's offer that to each other. I want to encourage you guys this week, your friends, your family. Serve them in a way that doesn't lift you up, but lifts them up. Lift someone else up. Encourage someone else. Don't think about your life. Think about someone else's and see what God does. And guys, I would be honest with you and say that I'm preaching to myself right now in a very serious way. It's so easy for our relationships to go into with our own strength and think that we can do this and lose sight of what God wants to do. And in the process, we will let people down. We don't want to let people down. And God wants to give us the strength to do that. You guys, we're going to pray for Kevin and the mission trip team right now. I'm going to pray for my friend Jamichael, who has lupus, and it's very dangerous. I'm going to pray for him. I ask that you guys just agree with me in prayer, and then we'll be done. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I ask that you would take these truths and that you would teach us, that you would change our hearts, Lord, that you would work in us from the inside and change the very way that we act with people. And Lord, we here at Velocity, we all want to lift up to you the mission trip team, the students that are there, the leaders, and Kevin. Lord, we ask that you would give them strength, that you would bless their time, and that you would use them in a mighty way. And in the relationships that they're building, Lord, that everything they say, Lord, would be seasoned with your grace. And the way they relate to each other and to people there, Lord, would be with love. And they would go and to honor people and to lift up people and to not think about themselves, but to think about others more highly. Lord, I pray for Jamichael, Lord. And Lord, I ask right now that you would send your angels to watch over him, to protect him, Lord. Lord, that you would be there and that you would have your healing hand upon his life. That you would be with the surgeons, Lord, and that you give him wisdom on how to fix them, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would heal him for your glory and that he would come and experience you in a deeper way, Lord. Lord, if he doesn't know you, Lord, that he would come to know you, to give his life to you, Lord. Our lives are so frail and fragile, Lord. Would you do a work in us right now? Would you do a work in Jamichael?